Hello, and welcome to another episode of Higher Self Take the Wheel. My name is Scott, and as always, I'm joined by my lovely wife, Sophia. How
Hello.
Are you this fine evening?
I am doing well. I don't know why I said it in that voice.
I'm putting my host pants on, so yeah. Maybe I'm just...
I noticed you had a I noticed you had a hammy voice. I was like, "Well, I am doing great."
Well, I won't be doing that anymore then.
What? I can't mock you. I mock. I kid.
I know. Just the fact that we're both doing the voice.
Yeah, that's a little much if you both do it.
Oh my gosh! So, what are we talking about today?
Today is going to be about toxic masculinity.
Oh yeah. I was joking beforehand that this is going to be part one of like a never-ending series because there's a lot of toxic masculinity and seemingly infinite amount of stories you can relay about men being toxic. Women can be toxic too, though, you know.
Yeah, it's just not as prevalent where you have a shirt that, and this makes me, I think this should be the title of this episode, where you say, it says, "Fuck your toxic masculinity." But the, you know, the F word has the stars. So you're not going around wearing a shirt that says.
I remember wearing that shirt to an outing with friends a couple of years ago. It was, you know, mostly men. And I could just feel people like trying to look at the shirt. And it made me feel so uncomfortable. I don't know why, what made me
You were
decide.
Self-conscious.
I was extremely self-conscious of it.
Yeah. What made you wear the shirt? Were you trying to like make a statement to all your friends? Was it mostly guy friends, right?
Yeah.
And do you think it worked, or did you get any questions?
No, just a lot of staring and trying to read what it said. Because I think I was wearing a jacket over it, but you could still, so you could see part of the lettering, but you can see it all. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. So so you wore it, but you covered it up. And you didn't...
I was half ashamed.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrified out of my mind. It's not easy for a man to make a statement like that. It really isn't.
No, it's not. It's not. Especially when you have a group of guy friends that are a little bit masculine.
Stereotypically masculine, yeah, for sure.
We don't want to... Well, I feel like we don't... Well, last episode was about friendship. So this kind of coincides with that. Do you have any thoughts about the last episode? Kind of like hand in hand.
Well, it's really funny to me that we did an episode on friendship, and then 3 days later, I had to see someone who I haven't seen, was probably my very first friend, my very first childhood friend. We're not friends anymore. We're acquaintances at this point. We know a lot of the same people.
Yes.
So there are times when we do... see each other like at weddings and what we just did the previous week. And it was very challenging for me. Like I was stressed out all weekend leading up to it. I was kind of dreading it.
Why were you dreading the weekend seeing him? What's up?
Okay.
Particularly this friend.
Yes. I'm glad you asked that. Cause I'm giving no context.
Right.
So he's one of those people who he's really smart, but he also always needs to prove that, at least in my opinion, maybe not everybody agrees, but he's the type of person that always needs to remind people that he's the smartest person in the room.
Oh, well, that's annoying.
It's very annoying. And that's what I was dreading because I know people rarely change.
Yeah.
And I was exactly right. Like it went down, the whole event went down almost exactly how I thought it would.
Yeah. Yeah. And can you give any more details on that? Or are you trying to like kind of,
well, for example, so it was for WrestleMania,
of course,
and he is not a wrestling fan. So because of that, we spent most of the time, me and my friends, just like listening to his life story and what's going on in his life over watching like the actual events unfolding on TV, which was very frustrating for me because I just wanted to watch wrestling for a few hours and get invested and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so much of the night was listening to him talk about his life. And whenever he really likes to call people out. Like if somebody has a take on, it's not even a take, it just could be like an innocuous observation. He will call you out and be like, well, why is that? Why do you think that? And he'll say it like a really snippy way where you feel like you're forced to really back up your opinion, if that makes sense. Yeah. It's just, it's exhausting. And I'm here to watch, I'm here to be entertained by what's going on the screen. I'm trying to watch wrestling. I'm not trying to like have a competition with you.
Yeah. So basically this is a toxic male. No? Or am I just...
Yeah, definitely. I would say I don't want to label anybody or like judge somebody. Yeah. I that's why I don't want to like single anybody out. Right. It's funny that I had this experience right after we talked about that. And yeah, this could be an offshoot of, well, whatever, fuck him. He's annoying. Yeah, he definitely displays toxic
this
tendencies.
This podcast is going to get us in trouble, do you think?
Yeah. Oh well. So there was here's an example. You asked for an example. He was asking if wrestling had gotten good again because he had there was a group chat, and me and one of my other friends, we were talking about how good night one of WrestleMania was. We were all there for night two of WrestleMania, and the friend in question, he wanted to know if we were being genuine with that statement or if we were being sarcastic. And we explained to him, like, no, it was actually really good. And I said, yeah, you can't deny that all the fans there were really into and invested in most everything that was going on.
Yeah, it was a good show. I saw part of that show.
Yeah, like
and
it was...
Bad Bunny was in there, and I was like, oh, hey, yeah. Bad Bunny, Snoop Dogg. I saw they got a lot of stars. Like, they make it, like, entertaining.
Yeah, like, it was a lot of fun, and the matches...
Deny it.
The matches were really well done, and the fans were really into it. Night 2, another story, but we're not here to review WrestleMania. But long story short...
That would be your dream podcast. Anyway, go on.
My point was, because the crowd was going crazy and cheering and into everything, that it was good, because that's the ultimate indicator. Right, if the fans are into it, it's good.
Yeah.
And when I said, like, it can't be denied that the fans were into it, he goes, well, I can deny it. And then I just responded back like, well, yeah, you can think that, but I'm not going to listen to anything you have to say about it.
Yeah. Because your opinion, in this case, your opinion doesn't matter.
Right.
Because you don't watch wrestling. Like, what is it? Why are you...
But he's like, he's always trying to be that, like, contrarian, where I feel like he's trying to, like, throw you off.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying.
Yeah.
And
before we go off on, like, a full-blown tangent... Or do you
want
to continue?
Well, you want me to go on the tangent. Yeah. They're like, whoa, 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 slow it down, buddy. Slow it way down.
Oh, wait, do you want to... Okay.
No, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like... It's interesting that you kind of had to deal with that person right after. Did it make you evaluate friendships more? Because you said it was ironic that we talked about friendship and then you dealt with this person. Mm-hmm. Do you consider him a friend or what?
Not anymore.
Yeah.
I consider him an acquaintance at this point.
Yeah. Well,
because we have a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah. I see that. So, yeah, I can see why you became reflective of it. But you don't have too many people that are crazy. Like, you've cut off most of the people in your life.
Yeah,
like that.
I would definitely classify him as a bully, both in the physical and the verbal sense.
Okay.
But he's not, like, he's not angry about it.
Yeah.
He'll just, like, do it kind of coldly and try to make it, like, He likes to humiliate people.
And he
can never be the one who, like, is reactionary. He's always trying to make you the angry, reactive one.
Gotcha. Ooh. Okay. Well, let's get to the topic.
Because this is the topic.
I feel like you could talk about him. I don't want to talk about him, though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you could probably talk about him all. I get it, though. There's people in my life that are just like, grrr. Well, not too much anymore. But, like, you get rid of those people that make you go grrr all the time. Because you don't want to deal with them. When you deal with them, you're like, afterwards, you're in this, like, state of, like,
I'm still, we're, like, 5 days removed from that now, or I am. And I still feel like I have still residual.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's why you just have to get rid of those people in your life because you can't. They just the way they make you feel. And I feel like every time we do a podcast about a topic, I always come back and there's like more stuff that you can add always. Yeah, but
let's hear.
That's one of the things is like the way those people make you feel, you know, is a clear indicator if they're your friend or not. So if they're making you feel like, girl, then yeah, for sure, there's something not quite right about the friendship, for sure. But the topic today is toxic masculinity. What would you kind of define it as?
Not being able to control your emotions.
Yeah, that's one symptom.
Like I just said, being reactionary.
Or, yeah.
Like yelling, mm-hmm. you know. What are you gonna say?
Or expressing the emotions. I feel like toxic masculinity or just like toxic males don't have the ability to properly express the one emotion that they can express is anger. Anger comes very easily for men. I feel mm-hmm. like that is the most example I get a lot is anger. I see that more than anything.
Yeah. What do you think? It's all mostly based around like fear of like a childhood wound that hasn't been addressed.
Probably. I think that's a big
part of it.
Probably. I mean, okay. So like society, and we've talked. I think we've kind of touched upon this. I can't remember now if we have because my memory is shot. It's gone. But the belief that the men are supposed to. In society, provide for the family and don't give emotional support to, you know, to your wife, to your kids, to any, like your emotional support is non-existent when it comes to basically men, you know, women are supposed to provide the nurturing mm-hmm. and all that. And men are not in touch with their feelings. And because of that, because they're not in touch with their feelings, they're just emotionally stunted. They're not, they don't have the ability to, they can't read emotions.
And it's a long road ahead because that gets passed down generation to generation. And how long have we lived in, you know, the quote unquote patriarchy where it has been that way for centuries, where the man is the provider and the breadwinner in most families, most American families.
Yeah.
The vast majority.
Right.
We're just now breaking away from that.
Mm-hmm. And you're like you're one of the prime examples. Like, and you said this before, helping me with my business has made you confront like the underlying identity of yourself, you know, because we grew up in this patriarchal society and you have this underlying belief about yourself. And then when you go and you quit your job and you help your wife in a business and you think you're okay with it, but
I always say it was the hardest thing I've had to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And I heard this, I've been struggling with this definition of freedom lately, where freedom isn't, you know, this utopian idea where you're free to do whatever you please. That's just like an ideological fantasy. But what freedom is for me now is when you really have no other choice but to act. And I felt like that's where I was during the pandemic in 2020. Like I was so fed up with my job in retail that I felt like I had no other choice but to pursue this horrifyingly uncertain new path mm-hmm. that I knew was going to be better for me. Yeah. But I was still so scared to take it because I didn't know what lie ahead. And when you don't know what lies ahead and you're a person that doesn't really like to be bothered with change, it's like the inconvenience of change overrides like that, you know, that's what prevents you from doing it.
Yeah.
And I was at the point where I had to exercise my freedom and be like, I have to do this because I have no other choice. If mm-hmm. I continue doing this dead end job, I will die. If I haven't already died, you know what I mean?
Like a part of you will die.
Yes,
like
your absolutely.
Soul will die. Because many people that stay in those jobs was like, when we saw it, over and over again. I mean, we worked there, those people that were there for like 40 years at a retail job that just sucks your soul away. You work mm-hmm. for these like big corporations and you have like, you're just, you know,
it's so sad because we both know someone who worked there for over 40 years and they were always so like in such a bad mood and, you know, so angry. But that was even the worst of it. The There's fact that they took
people like
they
that.
Took their job so seriously. They yeah. thought their job, because they had to delude themselves into believing, okay, because I've done this for 40, 45 years of my life, it has to be the most serious thing on earth. And it was just, it was insane.
Well, yeah, you have to make you have to make some meaning out of your life at that yeah. point. So it's like, yeah.
It's scary, though, because I never wanted to, like, treat the job that seriously.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but then you got out of it, and then you quit. And then once you quit and started working for me, you were wrestling with your thoughts of, okay, who am I as a man?
Yeah, I still am. But yeah. I'm definitely in a much better spot now. It was really challenging because another thing with this society is probably the most common question you get asked at like a party when you're getting to meet people or whatever is, what do you do? What do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you do?
Yeah.
And
I still kind of like, I go to the go-to. I have a small business and then I sell crystals and jewelry. But before I was like, okay, but now I'm just like, this is what it is.
Okay. So if you think it's hard for you to, as a successful entrepreneur,
at first,
if you think it's hard for you to do that, imagine what how a man feels who is, it's not their business, it's their wife's business, and they have quit what they were doing to support that full time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You kind of had to like check yourself, like, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I will be very self-aware. Like if people do ask me now, I'll get ahead of it and I'll joke and I'll be like, I'll be very ha-ha about it. Like, oh, look at me. Like,
writing my coattails.
Yeah. Like I will say that because I want to get ahead of it. And I don't want people to have like anything over me. You know what I mean? Where they can. And this and you know where I may have learned that from is that friend I was talking about earlier, because he would always account for every little thing.
Oh.
But that made me stronger mentally.
Mm, yeah. What made you stronger mentally?
Well, I'm just saying like his... I try now with my awareness to account for
like judgment
of
people. Okay, I see what you... Well, does that make you...
It's not, it's probably not entirely a good thing.
Yeah.
Completely healthy.
I was just about to get to that. I'm like, is that like the best way to, like the best,
no,
the just, best way is just not to care. You know, just say it out loud. These are facts.
Well, yeah. If you live in a dream world, who doesn't care? Not care. Yeah.
I know. That's the hardest thing. Not caring what people think. But you have to get to that point. It is something that it just makes life easier once you don't care what people think. But yes, I'm not saying it's something you let go of overnight. It's very hard. And I still struggle with it. Like even us putting out this podcast, it's like I kind of just have to like, it's whatever. I don't care at this point. You know, it is what it is. If you want to listen, you don't. You know, we might be blowing up our lives in the process. But it's fun.
What do you think?
No, I'm just kidding. I say that because, you know, we're sharing a lot of personal info. So if there are people out there that do listen and like, hey, they're talking about me or something like that, then...
That's the only thing at this point that I'm really scared of. Yeah. Like if somebody's going to come at me for saying I'm like a pussy or whatever for not providing for myself, like I'd be like, okay, well me and you will clearly never be friends or talk again because you like your behavior disgusts me. So I truly I'm not gonna say I don't care about it because it probably will affect me and somebody will probably like anger me and because it's like a brutal reminder of how it's just
man
what are we gonna do
can we kick them off?
There is this, well, you said earlier that men have this innate desire that's like built into our DNA to provide financially. Do you think there's any point in the next 100, so years, if we're not taken out by global warming or any of the other,
all the other disasters,
thousands of disasters
that are happening right now,
imminent. Yeah. Do you think we'll ever get to a point where, like, the financial burden might be lessened a bit for men?
I mean, it's a lot of factors. Maybe if we get to a point where women rule the earth, then maybe. And also, the financial system, too, is just like, oh, God. If that changes, it might change a lot of things. You never know what happens, you know, with all that shit that's going on right now. But I'm hopeful that it will get to a point where that viewpoint is not necessarily the viewpoint that is in society, you know, that it is changing.
I think it's still the overwhelming, like the most important thing a man can do is make sure him and his people are accounted for financially.
Yeah.
I think that is still overwhelmingly, like, men just want to make enough money to survive and be able to, like, but how much is enough, you know?
Well, is it important to you because you're not doing that technically? Like, you are, you're not, you're helping with the business, which is our, you know, financial, you know, way of living. But because it's not solely you and it's partly me, most, like, a lot, like, I started in all that. Because of that fact, do you think it's more important? You feel like... Because of that fact, you feel like it's the most important. Like, you said it was the most important. And I feel like maybe because you're not doing it, that makes you, like, reflect on yourself. That
maybe.
Yeah, you think so?
But money is, I mean, for me personally, money is a source of anxiety. Like, I always feel like I don't have enough. I've always felt like that. I think that's really common.
Yeah. And, I mean, we always want more money.
Yeah.
We're always doing manifestations of abundance and all that.
Yeah. So I think it is like a mental illness to a point. Like, it is insane.
Yeah.
Because we will work ourselves to the bone. Like, I've seen, like, that one TikTok of that guy who like worked 80 hours a week and he, like, rolls his eyes at people that can't and a 140 hour like
this idea that you have to, like, you gotta work hard. If you don't work hard, then what are you doing with your life? Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to, like, hustle my life away. Like, I am naturally a hard worker because of many of factors, you know. Like, I have a Capricorn moon. I always go to astrology, like, some cliche, but, like, that, and I'm Mexican, and, you know, to generalize, but Mexicans are, like, very hardworking, I feel. And I, and my parents too, they were very hardworking. My mom had, like, 3 jobs at one time. My dad never took a vacation. So, like, I'm just a hardworking individual, and I'm constantly working. But even with that, I don't want to be. I don't want to be working all the time.
If you had a choice, you would work less, right?
I would work less.
That's my point. That's the sickness, is we think we have to be productive for more than we actually...
Well, it's capitalism.
Need. Yeah.
Yeah. And it infected our brains. If we're not productive, we're wasting our time.
And, like, then
if
you
we're
feel,
not making or doing or whatever.
Yeah, and I think men... I say men because I feel this way. They feel guilty when, or we feel guilty when we're not working or being productive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, now that we're running the business, it's a different type of work day. We can pick and choose when to work. And if I want to take, like, an hour or two off in, like, the middle of an afternoon on a Monday, I feel like shit during it. I feel like I'm...
That's something I had to work on letting go.
Yeah.
This feeling of constantly being productive and realizing you're not going to be your most productive self if you don't take breaks to take care of yourself.
Self-care. You have to. Yeah.
And you tell yourself that, like, oh, I'm self-care. But even when you're doing the self-care, there is, like, sometimes this still, like, a tinge of guilt, and then you gotta just, like, fuck that, let that go. It is okay. My body needs rest. Otherwise, I'm not going to be by myself. So you have to take those moments to do whatever you need to do to recharge, like yoga, I don't know, meditate, walks, anything, reading or whatever.
Stare at a wall.
Stare at a wall. I love staring at walls. Yeah. Get lost. Yeah. So that is something that is just ingrained in our culture. And maybe it goes hand in hand with that toxic is a hard word for me for some reason.
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. Yeah, I was like struggling to say it. I was like, what's it called again? Masculinity? Like, it's like, wow. I am a wordsmith. Anyway.
When I see it now, I just see it for what it is. Like, it's really silly. It's like, I don't know. This is philosophical jargon, but like, it's symbolic castration. It's like when a man is acting toxic and macho, he thinks he's being macho, but the reality is everybody around him is probably looking at him as like somebody with his dick out.
Yeah.
And he looks really silly. You know what I mean?
Right. Like everyone sees the facade.
Yeah.
Because usually it is fear that makes a guy act like that when they act really just macho and in your face about what is acting macho to you?
Posturing, telling people
their opinions,
boring people with their life's achievements.
Oh yeah, okay.
When we should be doing something else, like watching WrestleMania. Not that I'm thinking of anybody specific.
No, this is just random example.
I think a lot of it boils down to like insecurity.
Yeah.
About yourself, yeah. Like if you constantly have to like prove to other people that you're this person that's doing something with your life, it's like, okay, but you don't have to, like, you don't have to tell us that. You can just, men have a problem just like sitting and just like enjoying. Like there's like this need to like entertain or impress with knowledge, where
attention seeking.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think a lot of it is attention seeking. Uh-huh. yeah and we've joked about this before, where like it's hard. I'm getting better at it, but you're much better with like silence than I am when we're together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like mostly a feminine trait, right? Like being able to like, okay.
I don't know.
I don't mean like, I don't know if that's sexist. Yeah. I'm just saying like it seems generally speaking that women are more okay with just like vibing with whatever's going on. Doesn't have to be like talk, right?
Yeah, right. Like you don't always have to be like entertaining or just, but that's my vibe in general, I would say. I don't know necessarily, I'm sure there are women out there that always have to be talking.
Right, there's exceptions.
Yeah, of course. Like, and my vibe's like that, and then my close friends are like that. Like, we will sit in silence and, like, look at, like, you know what I mean?
Just that sounds lovely. Why can't I have that? I always gotta be like, oh, my God.
It is, okay, I will admit this. When you do hang out with your friends do have that vibe of like, it is a constant like wit battle.
It's very competitive.
Yeah, it is. It's competitive.
Everybody wants to be the like the funny, intelligent one.
And make everyone laugh.
Yeah.
But then no one laughs at any of others. Well, sometimes.
Because everybody's so in their own head about trying to come up with the next thing.
Oh my gosh, it's exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Is that toxic masculinity, though, or is that just, what is that?
I think it is, because I have a problem with competition.
Yeah,
I'm okay with, like, you know, a little friendly competition here and there. Let's play a game of basketball or, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, it has gotten out of control. Yeah. And look at our economic system. Mm-hmm. It thrives on competition.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure,
So there you go. Like it all funnels into that. It all comes back to the source.
It's all intertwined. It's all connected. Yeah, for sure. Competition is. I remember realizing it as a child. Like competition is so dumb.
It is.
It's just so like, what is this?
It's annoying. It's stressful, annoying. And it's not. It's not fun.
Yeah, yeah.
It's usually not fun
when you play it. Like. I guess when you play certain sports, sometimes you can get into it and like, but the competition part of the sport was never like the fun part of, like when you, I always felt bad for the other team if you won.
Right.
I always felt bad.
Yeah, like,
there was
care.
Never a moment where I was like, in your face, you loser. You know, like, I was never like that.
That's the fantasy, though, is, you know, certain toxic men, they have to make it sublime because they have to integrate meaning into it. Especially if they're good at it, because then they can remind you how much better they are than you are.
Yeah.
And that's pretty dark shit, but that's the reality of the situation. A lot of insecure men want to take it very seriously because they think if they win, they have something over you and then their life is instilled with meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically, it all stems down to insecurity. MAGA. It's insecurity. When I see a non-toxic man, it's a man that is very secure with themselves, and you can tell, and they don't need to do all that posturing, the competition, the like, oh, well, I know this, and you like,
I used to be that way. I'm glad I'm getting away from it, but yeah, a lot of my friends, well, not a lot, but some still are, you know?
Yeah, but it's a guy. A male trait. It's, you always have to prove what you know, and your opinions are facts almost, it seems like. Is that true? Do you think, is that an overstatement?
I had an argument with a guy a couple of years ago, and he told me, we were arguing about Terminator, the Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. And I said, my opinion was Terminator 1 was a better movie than Terminator 2. And he said, well, that's just wrong.
Yeah.
It's like, all right.
Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Right. That's just wrong. Based on what, though?
Can't argue with your facts and logic.
Yeah. It's opinions are facts. That's what that is. When it comes to, I think, men, they view their opinions as facts a lot.
Yep.
And that's a toxic trait.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Do we have any more examples? More examples of toxic masculinity?
How about we hear from you? Have you experienced it in any way? You have to have examples.
Oh, my whole life I've experienced toxic masculinity just by talking to a guy.
let's hear an example.
Well, I feel like, just in general, life in general, you have to deal with men and their insecurities, and how can you escape it? You can't escape it. Every woman has dealt with toxic masculinity. There is no escape.
Is there like a mental battle that goes through your head as a woman where like you have to ask yourself, okay, do I confront them on this? Do I call them out, or do I keep it to myself? Is that like, because I go through that.
I guess it depends on the issue and how much energy you want to bring to it. You know, like if you know it's going to be a big battle. I'm the type now, it's just like, if it's going to cause a lot of energy of me trying to fight someone,
What if you're stuck with this person for a few hours, though? You know what I mean? It's what do you do?
If you're
not a situation where you're just like, it's a stranger on the street you can walk away from. This is like, you're locked in for hours, you know?
Then probably you get to a point if you're like, if you're stuck in an elevator with somebody and then you can't ignore it and you're just like, listen, dude, you're acting like this, you know, a bitch ass motherfucker. Yeah, I don't know. It depends on, I guess it just depends on the situation and what it is before I confront anybody on anything. Or if I even want to talk to them, you know, like at this point, I am more likely to ignore you. Yeah. I'm very likely to ignore all behavior because I don't even want to deal with it. Yeah. I don't even want to, like, that's the
what
energy.
That's what I was trying to do the other night.
Yeah.
I really, like, tried.
You tried,
I held
but
back.
It did.
Yeah. Well, I had some good, like, sarcastic one line.
Right.
Like,
yeah. If you could throw a sarcastic comment out to them every now and then, that's cool. That's how I kind of respond. Most of the time I ignore, but if I can think of something quickly, a sarcastic comment, maybe I can, if I can check someone real quick. But most of the case, I just don't even put even that much effort and just ignore. And then later on, you think of that shit. But it's like, whatever, at that point, I don't even want to deal with that person. But personal experiences, I feel like the most I have to deal with when it comes to the men in my life is maybe like the emotional, the lack of like emotional, what's the word? Not maturity, kind of just like willingness to express your emotions. That is probably...
Oh, like it was a guessing game? Like you're trying to figure out what was actually going on and you weren't getting any of anything?
Like I'm thinking about like the men in my life and like it's, you know, and all my family and everything. Like I come from a Mexican family, so there is more of a machismo viewpoint on life of like, you know, being strong and being stoic and not expressing your emotions and like... just, you know, being strong and never seeing my dad cry or men that are even close to my life cry, you know, like that is something that I realized, you know, like, I'll cry, but
very rarely will you see a grown man cry right. in front of other people.
And there are emotional men. You know, one of my friends, her dad's very emotional and cries all the time. And I'm like, that's interesting because my dad rarely ever, I don't think I've ever seen him cry. Now that I think about it, I'm trying to think and I don't think I have. I might have remember one instance when my dog passed away. I can't remember, but that's what I mean. They're so rare.
A lot of stuff is, yeah, a lot of the emotional baggage is just like buried. It's stifled. Yes,
stifled.
Which is extremely unhealthy.
Yeah. And who's to say that they're not crying in a room by themselves alone?
Yeah.
It's just never openly, which I feel like if men were more open about their emotions, it'd just be a more healthy.
Just imagine a scenario where like a man trying to get better finally decides to cry in front of everybody and somebody says, that's such a sign of weakness.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's the history of it though.
That's possible. It could happen. As ridiculous as that sounds. Yeah. Men are assholes.
Yeah. I think about that. Yeah. I think about that shit all the time. There's that Soprano episode. I'm a huge Sopranos fan, but there's this like episode where that one guy, he starts to cry at his daughter's funeral. And then like all the mafiosos are like, look at this guy crying. And it's like, you can't give him any like emotional
that's ridiculous, bandwidth. But yeah, yeah, it's true.
The general, that's toxic masculinity right there. You know, you can't cry in front of other guys for sure. Because then they're going to look at you like, pussy.
Right, because that's crying. That's an opportunity for an insecure man to let the other men know, see, this is not how I would act.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of it stems from like how men appear to other people in public.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to be the strong, silent type like Gary Cooper. That's like a saying.
Gary Cooper.
That's a
yeah. That's
Tony Soprano.
Hopefully, we don't have too many Gen Zers listening.
I don't think anyone's listening.
Gary Cooper. Oh, yeah.
Zing. Anyway, yeah. So I feel like that's the one thing I can see that. I know.
Well,
is an example in my life.
Well, mentioning Gen Z, do you think it's getting better with the newer generations?
I hope so. I think it is. I think it is. Because did you remember that TikTok I sent you about the little boy who was talking about emotions? And did you watch that one?
Yeah, I think so. Like he was processing what he was going through in real time.
Yeah, he was processing his emotions.
He sounded like a...
Oh, like he was 70 years old, dealt with a whole...
Like a whole life.
Yeah, he was 3 years old and he was processing his emotions in real time. He was like, I was angry, but then I stepped back and it was just like wow.
Total self-awareness.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, these children they're coming out super smart now. I feel like they're just more smart than ever. Like even by far.
Yeah. That's another thing too. Like a lot of men now like are dumb. I'm an idiot, a total idiot. Like you're just dumb, you're saying your opinions about your incredibly like mundane life, and your dick's just flopping about.
Okay, What? How did
that make? Really stuck on that.
Yeah, are you a man? No, I'm just kidding. How are men dumb though? Like, what do you mean?
I get it, but
I want you to say it.
They're not subtle, and I have to lump myself in with this unfortunate category of being. We're not very subtle, which I find is a sign of immaturity and lack of emotional intelligence. And yeah, just this constant need to like impress people. I think that's kind of stupid. And the constant need to like provide and have to, so you like put yourself through all this. The reason I think this is all stupid is because you're making your life more difficult for yourself by doing all of these things. Like, it's a stubbornness.
Yeah.
When you don't realize that if you gave yourself more comfort in your life and opportunities just to like sit back and relax and just go with the flow and let things go where they may, and you don't have to control and micromanage every situation, your life would become much more bearable.
Yeah. Are you like preaching to yourself?
Or do you I think I've gotten better. I'm proud of myself. Yeah. I'm proud of you too. It's not easy. It's not easy. I think I said this the other day, like being really aware now, less unconscious as a man, it's like activating hard mode on life. Because here, I guess I'm contradicting myself now, because I just said like you're making your life harder by being unconscious. I'm saying, I don't know.
Now you're just talking. I'm just talking. Yeah. Listen. No.
I'm getting tired.
Okay. Well, do we have any more examples of toxic masculinity? I feel like we're missing a good one, but you know, that's always the case. We always think about it after.
Well, we could talk about it next episode.
Yeah, that's true. Let me see if I can think of any more personal examples.
Like this is episode one of the ongoing series, Fuck Your Toxic Masculinity.
Do you think people understand the concept more? Do you think it's becoming more?
I think it triggers certain men.
Yeah.
Depending on both sides of the political spectrum. I know liberals and Republicans who would both be triggered by that statement, like toxic masculine, like, what? I'm not toxic.
Yeah, they don't understand. But that's what I mean. They don't understand
it. What don't you think men understand about that term?
They probably think it's just a term to attack
Like a
them.
Woke term.
Yeah, a woke term that it's an attack term on them. And they probably really don't know what it means. And that's my question. Like, what do you think the percentage of the population is like aware of this?
If you don't know what toxic masculinity means, you got a big problem.
You might be toxic masculine.
I think that's what it is you hear it and you're like, well, I can't even deal with that. Goodbye. Right. I'm just gonna, can't do it. Because then men have to grapple with how toxic they actually are.
Yeah.
And if you're a man, you have been toxic. You have. You just have. It's
period.
Not, period. Yeah.
With the
Yeah. Period.
Until you realize that you are toxic and you are, in what ways? Like, everyone has some toxic ways.
Yeah. Anger and fear.
Yeah. Insecurity.
Insecurity, yep.
Yeah. It's like we're almost born with it.
It's exhausting. It's a shame, because I do want to be around people more than I am now. But man, there's a lot of like, I have to constantly do this battle in my head when I'm around men now, where if they do say something that I think is a little fucked up, I then have to like play back in my mind, okay, do I say something here or do I just like let it go and move on, you know?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. You got to pick your battles and where you want to spend your energy.
Yeah.
Because your energy is precious and you don't want to waste it on people that just are not going to fucking get it. Yeah. You know? So whatever. Let it go. A lot of times.
Yeah. I'm trying.
Yeah. I think you're doing a good job and I appreciate you. And I'm glad you are aware as you are aware. That came out weird. I'm trying to give a compliment and it's hard. Just kidding. I'm glad you are aware of why can't I say it? Like, the I'm just glad where you're at in your awareness, basically.
Yeah, like, I don't hate men.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Yeah, and neither do I.
It's frustrating, and it's disappointing, but I want to, hopefully by sharing all of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully then men will, if they listen to this, will relate.
Yeah.
If they hear another right. man say it.
Right. Well, or even like plant the seeds of like, wait, maybe I am. The self-reflective seeds.
Yeah.
And that's basically your intention for anything. I think you should start your own podcast and be like, wake up, men. Scream, like just blast and preach. I know you want.
I mean, imagine how much better everything would be in society if men, you know, chilled the F out a bit.
And accepted. Yeah, I know.
Could you imagine?
It's an uphill battle, but I feel like it's getting better. We just continue. I mean, this is what it takes. It's just people opening up and talking about it, exactly what we're doing, you know? One step at a time, one seat at a time. It seems like it's never going to change, but it will eventually change.
And maybe this is stupid and naive, but I'm glad I am stupid and naive because I do have hope. As hopeless as it seems, like I do have hope that, you know, men in particular will start to reflect more and become more aware, maybe take a step back and stop being so ambitious and driven to insanity by making profit. You know what I mean? It's like, oh God. Okay, let's move on. That's old. Enough with the old. Out with the old. In with the uncertain new. I am ready for the uncertain new. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be an ongoing process for years and years to come. And then hopefully we'll get to a space where we're not talking about these issues anymore.
Hopefully they're...
might be long gone off the earth if that's the case.
No, that's for real, that's completely...
For real.
That's completely true. Lot of people that write books about this type of stuff says, I hope this is irrelevant one day.
Yeah.
Because that means like we've gotten better.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All right, so that was part one. We'll do part two next. No, just kidding. We'll have a different topic.
Probably. All right.
All right.
Well, I hope everybody enjoys what they're doing right now and just with their lives. And we got a lot to work on. But you know what? The road ahead is uncertain, but we can do it. And I do have faith.
I do too. That was a good sign off.
See you later, guys.
See you later.